And so here we are again, a little bit higher up.
Now we are standing where Shiloh actually began his excavations. Area E over there, then D, B, three areas that really constitute the bulk of Shiloh's excavations. Area G became more famous, but this is the area where he excavated the largest exposure of ancient Jerusalem. And we're seeing, first of all, on top, the city wall that he dates to the 8th century, founded on the rock. Then below it, at its foundation, he thinks that he sees Middle Bronze fortification, so it's been used twice, the same line.
Is that the line that's bulging out a little bit over here?
Probably. You know, this part wasn't published, but it could be. But that's the relationship anyway. What preserved is the 8th century. If the Middle Bronze exists, it's coming out and in and from the line. And then, again, all kind of terrace walls dating to the Hellenistic time, towards where we are, and this is a columbarium, the rounded structure. So Shiloh, when he saw these terrace walls, he saw the columbarium, he saw the wall, he said, okay, the city is from here up, okay, from that line up. And where we are standing, for him, was less interesting. Okay, he didn't really deal with that area. It's only because of the wall that we saw down there that suddenly this area is becoming important.
And that's from the discovery of the 1990s.
Yeah.
Now, where we are now, the city of David has marked with these columns the point of where in the Hezekiah's tunnel, the two tunnels
are meeting.
Are meeting, and that's continued. People are now walking right under our feet over here. And then there's the second channel, which we were just above, which is further down into the valley.
Exactly.
And so the both of them are going to the hill, and you are looking for a bend in the lower channel.
Exactly, yeah. A bend eastward, further into the Kidron. Okay. Not westward towards the Hezekiah tunnel.
Okay, so please show me, and the listeners will hear, why you're digging at this point. What is the relationship between them?
Okay. The relationship between... This is just... You have to imagine, let's say that we are at Megiddo, and we have a tell very clearly, but we're doing a section into the side, or you are at Hezekiah in area W or area E, you're making a section into the side of the tell. This is what's happening here. Area D of Shiloh is the upper part of the section. There, people are living, so we're not going to deal with that. Here, this is an unexcavated area, so at the moment, we're not touching. And my excavation...
Because it's been used as a park. So when you need to, you might cut into it, but in the meantime, they're using it. You have what to do.
Yeah.
You have tons of work.
Exactly. And this line really continues the same line, so it's a narrower exposure than Shiloh at the moment, but maybe we'll get it wider. But
and you want to go down all the way to the street?
Down to the level of, we are not dismantling the fence to the street, but we'll go down into the level of the street and maybe even further below.
At the water, by the water area, by the spring area, they are going down into the street
much
area.
Much lower than the street.
Much lower than the street.
Yeah. But here the ownership of the land ends with the wall, I think, as far as I know.
So as long as you stand the inside of the wall, you could go down.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Or but it's public area past the wall.
Yeah, but at the moment we're not aiming.
You have what to do. Yeah, if you would absolutely need it, then you would speak to the city and say we need to for the good of Jerusalem.
That's so simple. Once you cross over, then you deal with other issues that are more political.
Here we can do archaeology and we stick to that.
Excellent.
Over here, before they put in the park, was anything dug here? Did they do a salvage excavation?
Nothing was dug here. What is probably under our feet is the earth spill from Shiloh's excavations.
Uh-huh.
But nobody really knows.
Right.
But this area wasn't taken care of. So it's not that it was documented and then...
And then covered up.
Exactly.
Right, they just made it into usable area. Nobody was sitting here saying, I have a research question.
I'm just
explaining and I have to cut through. And what we're seeing outside here is look how carefully she's picking through tiny little fragments. So that was washed, that was wet sifted, it was dried.
And now it's reaching the sifting point. It's called picking. She's looking for minute animal bones, bulas. We don't care if we find bulas. We'll
clay stamps, that would be nice.
Anything organic, organic material, everything.
How can she see organic material? If there's a seed, she'll see it. But
if it's burnt.
If it's burnt.
I'm sorry, but pollen, things like that, you just take samplings.
No, pollen does not preserve in conditions like that. Pollen needs an environment without oxygen to survive. So we're not looking for pollen, and if we were, this is something invisible. This is something that you need to
take samples
of earth and bring them to the lab.
Right.
And you have to be careful that you don't get pollen from today.
Okay. And this is too young for the optical, the OSL.
It's a matter of being able
to tell when it was buried. That's not reasonable here. We know it's a second
exactly.
temple of garbage, and why make the efforts right
exactly.
now?
You have to ask the question and then find the tool, and not just say, oh, I have tools, let's use them.
So if you find the built wall down below when you're talking about the dating, then you might take a sample of earth behind it and attempt to answer that
exactly.
question.
Yeah.
The scientists are at the point that they won't accept the questions from the archaeologists unless they're sure about the question what they're talking about.
And there is an interest for them also. Yeah.
Okay, another word of what your hopes are for to see here? What's your dream to see here?
I don't know. This is pretty much the dream, no?
You see, you can satisfy somebody so easy. You give him a pile of tons of garbage, and the man is happy to spend his days here.
We're a little bit jaded. We're a little bit jaundiced because we're so used to going to archaeological sites and seeing things. And it's so, for us, it's very common. But for the average person, right, each thing by itself is amazing. It's astonishing what you have here, mm-hmm. right? And so if you take each thing by itself, really what you have here is a laboratory that is looking back at specific periods of time, and we're getting a very clear picture with every shovel, with everything that's removed, a deeper and better understanding of how things were 2,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago, whatever it happens to be, whatever period we're talking about. But that's an astonishing privilege to be a part of. I mean, Ashrecha, you know, really, you're fortunate to be part of that.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Dr.
Yuval Gadot of the Institute of Archaeology of Tel Aviv University. This is Barnea Levi-Selavon.
And David Wilner.
And you've been listening to The Landmine Show, coming from the heart of the city of
David. From the city of David.